Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace in our midst. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're growing in the light of your word, knowing what to do all the time, every time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been having some good conversations, haven't we, on the supernatural effects of prayer. We've been enjoying the diversities that giving ourselves to prayer brings. I believe strongly that our lives will not be the same again as we take heed to the teachings. Now, if you have not listened to the teachings on, you know, supernatural effect of prayer on us being childlike, you have to. Okay, I feel like that is going to be a very core trait or attribute of this ministry. So if you have not listened to it, you're already lost. And I've seen this, that there are teachings sometimes that come in, and the teachings tremendously change the people's attitude towards something. And then maybe somebody has not been around for a while, and then they come back, and then they feel like, it looks like something has changed amongst the people. That's because that's what the teachings are supposed to do. You see, they're supposed to effect a certain kind of a change. So suddenly, when you see people become full of joy, people flowing, people talking, and then you come in very moody, you be the only one just inside there. And then we now have to, teach again for you to understand what's going on. So, that should mean we all should pay attention to the sessions. They are very important. Let's not sometimes somebody could come in. You've missed how many sessions? If you missed days, and they just continue. So how do you know what was said? Sometimes there are instructions that are given, and then how do you get to know the instructions that are already given? Or you just throw it away and then you just continue. So I believe that the teachings are blessing lives. I spoke to someone, and the way the person was via wisdom, navigating the whole scene. Apparently, someone I'm teaching, the way the person that wisdom navigated the scene, I was like, this person listens. Yeah, this person listens. Yeah. That wisdom, the fellow was able to apply the things that the fellow had been taught in a very interesting scene. And I knew that person had been listening. So that brings me to talking to you shortly about another supernatural effect of prayer. We looked at how that you're going to escape temptation at the 5 p.m. session. Today we're going to look at another. Maybe today we're going to have a lengthier conversation, not here and now, but tomorrow, spanning off into tomorrow, next, and into a couple of days, we might just be staying on that for a while. Proverbs 4 verse 7. So he says, wisdom is the principal thing. It means is the most important, is the main thing. It's chief amongst several other things. There are things to have, there are things to get, there are things to possess. But he says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Now, some of you don't know who Solomon was. Let me show you something in 1 Kings. This just comes to mind. I wanted to show it to you. In 1 Kings chapter, let me get the scripture. I think 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 19. Let me confirm that before you drop it. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 19 or 29. So wisdom is the principal thing. First Kings 4:29. Now this is Solomon having to offer a large number of burnt offerings unto the Lord. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night, in what we call a vision of the night. And then the Lord is asking Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon is saying that, oh Lord, you've given me a great number of people to rule. Grant me a lot of wisdom, that I'll be able to judge these people and I'll be able to rule over them. And the Bible says the speech pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord that Solomon never asked for riches. because you give riches to a fool, it's just a matter of time the riches become poverty. But Solomon is not asking for riches. He's asking for something very supernatural. And he asks for wisdom, which is the principal thing. So wisdom is the foremost thing. I'm going to teach you how to get it via making use of this supernatural means of prayer. So, Solomon has asked for wisdom. In chapter 4, verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. Thus, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman, and Chalcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round and about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. Do you know proverbs? Now that is some wisdom. If I tell you to even give me 5 right now, please. Somebody who is bold enough should give us 5 proverbs. You see that this generation, we are in trouble. Even me, it will take me a while. I might not be able. 5 proverbs. Somebody should call online. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Oh. Ish. My people. 5 proverbs. Call him. 5 proverbs. Somebody should call him. Call me and give me 5 proverbs. 5 proverbs. If you Google it, you are a very dishonest person. If you Google, you are a very dishonest person. So just be truthful. Don't Google it and call in and say proverb number 1 is, meanwhile you are looking on something and giving us proverbs. Don't be dishonest. 5 proverbs. That's when you see that it's not. No. You have to think how. Think of it right now and give us 5 proverbs. 5 proverbs shouldn't be. Pastor, please entreat. No, entreat. You just give us 5 proverbs. Be honest to yourself. Give us 5 proverbs. Whether in tree or in English. 5. We don't want. When you put a donkey in front of the horse is a winner. That's not a proverb. It doesn't make any sense. Give us proverbs that will make us itch. Wow. That's the proverb. So nobody can give us 5 proverbs. Okay. So let's hear 5 proverbs. So Louise has called in. Give us 5 proverbs.
Father, I want to say some. Pastor, please thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Pastor, please, in tree, there's one proverb that says, Second Tompony, catch or say, or no be food, dear. Manimfro answer. Like the person should go before. It means that if a coward tells you that he will climb a tree with you, let him go first.
You see, I wouldn't have bought. But you, let's go. Proverb number 2. Let's take it like that. Proverb number 2.
Pastor, please. This one is in Ewe. It says that Egbeve menon of you. Pastor, please. It means that 2 voices.
What does that mean?
Pastor, please. It means that 2 voices do not raise a child. So it literally means that in a house, it must be one voice that raises a child. One must not be talking. The mother should not give an instruction, and the father is giving a contrary instruction. So Egbe Menye Navio. That's number two.
Okay, number two, number three.
What's the point, number
all three? All the assonants. Add all of them. Tree, French, anything. Just add all.
Yes, Miss Basta. No. You made it in okay. Pastor, it means that when a matter is like there's a matter rising or there's an issue at hand, just by saying okay or yo mate or you have heard, it ends the matter. It does not increase strife or it does not cause strife to continue.
Okay, your proverbs are actually they are explanatory when it comes to explanatory proverbs. Like when it comes to something you say to explain, we could get quite a number. So give us another proverb too. Because if we are all to explain a proverb we have heard before, that's going to be quite that's going to be quite easy to do. Like if you are going to hit your head and then throw out something you have heard that you have to explain, that's going to be easy. Quite easy. Not even that much easy, but quite easy. Proverb number four. He had to pull away and pull tree and pull. Somebody should, so the whole house, everybody should add some. Proverbs 5 is beating the whole house. Hey, the whole house combined together, you give us 5 proverbs. So Louis, add another proverb if you have one.
Possibly this one is in Ewe. And but it says probably the English is not coming right now.
Okay, so anyway,
Pastor, please, this one is in error. It says that I'm a man of a very long gano and one year move. Pastor, it literally means that
is there an error?
No one.
No, don't explain. We can explain literal proverbs. We have literal proverbs to explain. The proverb should be clear. Like when it hits, it's clear.
Yes, Pastor, please.
Explanatory there. We can have quite a number of. The key one you gave us like this, I mean, that's. What do you call it? Something that. I'm sure if we were to put our
Pastor, please, this one is in tree. Pastor, please, this one is in tree. It says that akola one man name amenda no bent one panetoda.
Okay. All right. Okay, who knows that proverb? Okay. All right. Okay, so he has to bring, so add some more. Last one. I mean is what do you call it? But
Pastor, please. Please, this is the last one.
Okay. 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 In fact, according to whatever you've just said, I actually take just two of them as actual proverbs. The rest of them are almost things you have to say to explain. Honestly, but I can take all of them. But in my heart of hearts, the last two are actually the only clear proverbs. Now, in verse 32, you see that Solomon, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Do you know 3,000? Thousand? 2,000? 3,000? Now, that's some high-level wisdom and skill. It means, do you know people used to travel from all the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon? So, in verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, that's actually nothing compared to the wisdom we have in Christ, actually. But that's quite remarkable. I mean, let's agree that that is remarkable to have. And there's nothing compared to the wisdom we have in Christ. But it's quite remarkable. I mean, it's very remarkable. If I don't know, I shouldn't say it's quite. It's very remarkable. See, so he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees. He spoke from the cedar of a tree, from Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So, indeed, wisdom is the principal thing. But you see, we realize that Solomon asked for wisdom just once, and he never asked for wisdom again. He actually died a fool, in quotes, because his heart was turned against God. Had over 1,000 women and counting, 700, 300 respectively concubines and wives. But we can tell that he had great wisdom. Now, this is what he is saying in that vastness of his wisdom in Proverbs. He says, that asset of wisdom, he says, it is the principal thing. It's the first thing. It's the most important thing. Then he says, therefore, get wisdom. I'm going to show you during this week, maybe 2 days, how to get this wisdom and how that supernaturally prayer has an effect on causing you to be wise. In fact, Paul throughout the epistles is praying for the church. And he's not praying for them so that they will be wealthy. Neither is he praying for them so that they would get married. Neither is he praying for them so that they would be excited. Neither is he praying for them so that they would be able to build homes, be able to, buy chariots and horses and ship and boats. But he prays throughout for them, for this principal asset. He calls it the spirit of wisdom. In fact, the Holy Spirit principally is known as the spirit of wisdom. He is the one that gives wisdom. So we're going to see just going to close now, how that wisdom, I mean, how that supernaturally prayer has an effect on the way we think and how we process things. And because if wisdom is spiritual, it means that there is a source of wisdom. There's a source of wisdom. There's a source of wisdom. Now, we're going to see how we can make it continually available. So every time, there's going to be a continuous flow of wisdom. It's not after somebody speaks to you, they should be blessed. They should say, wow, that guy is a very wise man. Oh, that person is a very wise person. Somebody was telling me that the fellow's mother asked her that, how is it that you speak so wisely and you're able to say things very wisely? Yes. How? Yes. And she was telling me. And she said, oh, we listen to our pastor's teachings. That's why we are wise. Yes. And she told her mother, we listen to this, my pastor's teachings I listen to. That's why I'm wise. Because I'm sure her parents are saying that, no, for your age or something, we should be finding you saying something not too discerning enough to understand, not too good enough to take. But whenever we ask you, you're able to produce something. So I'm going to show you how that you are going to make use of this, you know, wonderful asset that we all principally must have in our lives. You see, men and how their lives turn out is just a function of how wise they are. That's all. Yes. Every man and how his life turns out is just a function of how wise he is. That's all. So when you see anyone and you see everything around them, it speaks loudly in volumes. It screams, they are decisions. So when you see somebody with a very bad, you know, sense of decision, then there is a very serious problem, you know. You got everything around him that's not working. They give you money, you squander the money. They give you this, you squander the money. They do this for you, you don't handle the thing well, the thing doesn't work. But none of you is like that in Jesus' name. But you see people, that people are proof, they are proof of how wise they are. You see that somebody, you empower the person with a business, a small business, you just empower the person small. You'll be shocked in a few years how the person would have been able to manage and grow and, you know, develop and build the business into something. And there's someone to you, empower the person, and the person just goes down the drain. And you empower again, and then it goes down the drain. And it goes down the drain. It's a function of how wise they are. How wise they are. Yes, how wise they are. So, you're going to have wisdom supernaturally. Yes, it's seen in foresight as well. It's almost like there's a supernatural ability for you to predict something. That's wisdom. Yeah, you're able to see farther ahead, think farther ahead, you know. You run things through ahead, then you run it back, then you say no. So that's what happened. You run things through ahead. 5 years, you run things through ahead before you now run it back again. But you see that somebody just wakes up and then they just do anything they want to do. But God is granting you wisdom. Yes. you become very smart, very wise. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be with you and is going to be talking to you. And you're going to be having this supernatural effect in play. Yeah. So this day, tomorrow next, we're going to be looking at how that prayer plays a very vital role in making this happen. Prayer plays a very vital role in making this happen. And I'm going to teach you some very small nuggets that you can use to access it. If you never knew, you never know. You'll be roaming around the bush, but you might not get it. So you're going to be wise amongst your peers. You're going to be wise. When good things come into your hands, you're going to know how to manage it and grow it until it becomes something very great. And you're going to know what to do every single time, every single period of your life. There's going to be something to do. If you're in school, it's imperative that you have a certain kind of a wisdom to pay attention to your academics so that you don't lose out and you don't fail and you don't become a laughing stock. There's a wisdom that you play with. Do you see that? Yes, there's a wisdom that you play with. Hey, me, when I was on campus, I was wise. I knew that, no, I couldn't. God has called me into the ministry. But I also did not want to make sure that my academics, I was failing. See, it's like you are failing. So I had to be wise at it. Yes, I always went to study on my own many times. I mean, not use always, because always is very exclusive. Many times I went to study because I knew that the course I was also doing was a very difficult course. But you see somebody who is not wise in there, and then they play with everything, and then it in turn affects them. So God is going to grant you wisdom to be wise in everything that you find yourself to do. Yes. I used to be present at prayer meetings, at dawn prayers. I was almost always there. Yes, I was almost always there. Yes, I was almost always there. Maybe not every time, but I was almost always there. Yes. I could actually count how many days or how many times that maybe I had missed dawn prayers. It's countable every semester. I could count. Like every semester, I could say, okay, this, I missed. I was always there. I was always there. Many times I was there. Very, very... very rarely, I'm telling you the gospel truth, very rarely. Yeah. So, and then when I became prayer director, it means that I had to be there. So I couldn't but be there. So there's a wisdom way to go about it. When you have a job, there's a wisdom way to go about it. When you have an opportunity, there's a wisdom way to go about it. And God is going to grant you that wisdom in Jesus' name. In discipleship, there's a wisdom way to go about it. There's a way that you order your life, and there's a way that you run your life. It's necessary. It's very important. So wisdom is the principal thing. It's the foremost thing. It's very essential. Yeah. Yeah. It's very essential. Without wisdom, we cannot build the ministry we're building. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It takes a lot of wisdom. It's not possible. So you see that this person has gone to rent a building and they are paying this. at the end of the day, the church is owing. What? This is that. Yeah? If you can't pay for a venue, should you go for the venue? Some things are principal. They are key. Yes. I made up my mind. I will never borrow. What going to borrow? I don't have any conversation with borrowing. Because I learned that wisdom. I'll never borrow anything. Yeah, never borrow nothing. We are not borrowing anything. There's nothing like borrowing. If we are buying, we are buying it. Yes. So we have everything. Even when we started to buy our instruments, these are everything. So we're not going to borrow from anybody. Or we are going to say that we are going to, what do you call it? That thing, I think I did it just once or something. Said, go and rent. And I said, no, I'll never do this thing again. Please, let's go and buy our own things. And gather the monies together. Let's buy our own things. Because it takes a lot of wisdom to do that. Yes. Yes. Some people are thinking, maybe I'm thinking about renting. I'm thinking about buying a land and putting up a structure. Canopy, we'll just put up a structure. We'll be there. We'll be raising the structure. Yes. It's the principal thing. Yeah. Someone told me how much they pay every what for a venue. I said, my God, don't you have a hall? Hold the services in your hall. Your hall is there. Hold it in the hall. If they'll come, they'll come. If the people will be blessed, they'll be blessed. They'll come from wherever they are. They'll come and sit in the hall. They'll be blessed. Hold it in the hall. Yeah. So me, I don't worry about anything because wisdom is the principal thing. Yes. It's the principal. It's you to know what to do, when to do, how to do. Yes. If the hall is full, open up your bedroom. If the bedroom is full, put chairs just in front of the and then open up the doors. If it will grow, it will grow. If it will not grow, it will not grow. You don't need to break your neck because you are trying to push people into a venue. So sometimes we make certain decisions that end up hurting us. But you must be very wise. Yes. You say, well, when are we getting a venue? We are struggling. But if we have a good venue, is when we'll pay for a good. If you have an outrageously high venue, what are you doing in there? If you know you can't pay, what are you doing in there? Get out of the place. Go and get somewhere. Get a classroom. Sit somewhere. Just do something. So wisdom is the principal thing. We are not into make a point or prove a point to anybody. We are not proving a point to anybody. We are not proving a point to anybody. Yeah, we're not proving a point to anybody. Recently, I was in prayer when I said, we have instruments. Oh, okay. We can open a hiring company with the instruments that we have and then hire and collect the plenty money that people are collecting. We'll collect the same money and then use it to probably build or do something. Yes. It's wisdom. We are looking for ways to get more to come in. Yes. And the only thing I said was, okay, no, maybe. Let's be careful because sometimes people are careless. You give out your instruments to them and your microphone is blown, your speaker is blown and all of that. So that's the only thing that helped me. But I saw a wisdom way in that. You would have seen that your pastor is sitting in front of a car and hiring instruments. Yes, it takes quite some wisdom to be able to see into what is happening. Yes, so that we can get more money for the church and to build, and to raise. Yeah. So there are things that we struggle with. You are not supposed to struggle. But because you are not really, because maybe there's not a wisdom about it, then you see that there's a lot of problems. So God is giving you wisdom in every aspect of your life. You're going to choose a woman, going to marry a man. There's a wisdom. Getting into a relationship, there's a wisdom. How is it that you just entered into it without paying attention to those things? How? And later on you come and you say that the person is worrying you, the person is troubling you, the person is doing this to your life, this person is... You should have seen it. It was right before you. You didn't pay attention. You were just falling because you are in love. You are in this. You should have seen it. That's what you were going in for. So God is making you wise. It's like you see farther. You see that? You see farther than people will see. Yes, you see far. You not just see what is happening now. You'll be able to see far. Say, no. Yeah. Some of you, wisdom will teach you to stay in the ministry and to serve God no matter what. It takes a level, a certain kind of wisdom to tell you that, this place you are living, meanwhile, because you can't see farther, you say, oh, no. Yeah. I knew of a certain, maybe 6 years ago, a certain lady I was discipling. And she fell off into quite some interesting thing. I tried to say, you know what? You know, you are fine, but, you know, just pay attention. You see that? Pay attention to what I'm teaching you. See? Yes. But you see, not many people can see far. That a great thing normally starts very small. Not many people can see that. Only few people can see. Yes. Only few people can see that a great thing, it does not start very. It starts very, almost looking like it will not do well. Yes. So you jump off. Meanwhile, what you are jumping off from is a great blessing, even greater than what you are even trying to find. She jumps. I'm like, oh. You go. Maybe after 5-6 years, you come back, you say that you feel like the Lord is telling you, my sister, you were supposed to see. We try to tell you that don't do that. So it takes a certain kind of a wisdom to see into what God is doing. Yes, and blessed are you when you have that wisdom. That's what I'm going to be teaching you. Blessed are you when you have it and you have some foresight. It's like some foresight into matters. And you're able to be patient even when it seems. And you're able to, you know, be around. You're able to follow. You're able to save. You're able to, you know, see into situations that people don't see. You're able to look farther than it shows. You're able to, you know, make decisions that help your life. You're able to take your academics seriously. You're able to pay attention to the ministry and not pay attention to something else. It's like you are trying to find attention on something else. But it takes wisdom to tell you that what you are following is very futile and it is very empty. It takes wisdom. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. We'll get to know whether what we are doing is wisdom or it is foolishness. Just a matter of time. Yes, it's just a matter of time. So you're going to be wise, prudent, to be able to, you know, make meaning, draw out conclusions into matters. Yes. So God is doing that for you. As we look out for this supernatural effect, you see that people were supposed to be in the ministry. I'm saying that serving the Lord, they will not be there. They will go. 36 years later, then you see that they are still talking. Yeah, they are now saying that I feel the call of God is on my life. You didn't know the call of God was upon your life when you were 22. You didn't know. It's after you have gone to waka, you have run around, done everything, you're saying that the call of God is on your life. That time too is too late. If you were 25 and then we added another 36 years, you know how that would be. You said, I feel the call of God. You have wasted your years. Yes. So God is via, you know, his wisdom, going to teach you how. You see that? How to go about it. He's going to teach you how to go about it. And you're going to be wise about it. There are some people who are supposed to be associates. And they said, no, we are going to be our own men. and then they leave. And after 25 later, they realize that they have struggled throughout. Yes. It's true. It's true. When God has not called anybody to pioneer, or God has not called you to pioneer, you pioneer, it's going to be quite tough. You know? The difficulties are very sad. Because it will be like God has not called you. But He has called you. He says, go and then be an associate. Go and be like Aaron. Go and be like her. But you say, no, I want to be a Moses. 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 Meanwhile, you realize that responsibilities on Aaron and her was just to lift up the hands of Moses. And once the hands of Moses are lifted up, the battle is being won. And we all are being free. And none of us are taken as captives. So you're going to be wise. Be wise. Yeah, be wise. Be wise. Be wise. God is giving you wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom. So, no, 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 no. I want to be alone. No, no, no. Okay, go and be alone. See that you are struggling. I heard of a story of a man of God like that. He left somewhere he was supposed to be with. And he said, after 25 years, he closed down and said, no, he's going back. Now, those men are even rare. Yeah, some of them, they will never, they will say, hey, till we die. And they stay there, they grumble on God. They talk. I say, God has not called, God has not done this, God has not been faithful to me, God has not been this. So God is going to grant you wisdom. I'm telling you, things are not just working. Eh? They're not just working. There's a mighty hand that's making it to work. Yeah. There's a mighty hand that's making it to work. Yeah. I'm here, and then, I don't know, today, I kept on stumbling on posts on Facebook, people's prayer posts and all of that. And I saw 11, 10, 9, 20. And I felt like the Lord was telling that you are doing something. Don't be afraid. I was just stumbling on it. Meanwhile, they were outside. And then, you are doing something. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. Yeah, don't be afraid. So God is doing something, and we are going to be very wise at it. Some of you, the wisdom in it is to say yes to instructions. That's the wisdom. Say yes to instructions. So we have been paying attention to prayer and the supernatural effects that comes with it. And I believe strongly that they are very true. They are unarguably true. Yes, they are unarguably true about the benefits that giving yourself to prayer has. You know, I want you to be able to believe that the things that I teach you via God's word is true. I have not prayed for a long time, because there are other revivals that have spanned off. I mean, other prayer-related revivals that existed for 100 years. Yes, before we saw the famous Lutheran intervention. It was after so many 100 years of prayer. Yes, unbreaked. So it was unbroken, if I would call it, unbroken. So people are praying throughout the clock for 100 years. Yeah. And so I have prayed for a minute, and you know, when you do something, you start to become a bit experienced. It's like, wouldn't want to call it experience, because nobody gets experienced with God, but you start to know or identify certain things. Yes. So there has also been a time of my life where I wasn't praying, and there were also times of my life where I started to learn how to pray, and there were times of my life where as I learned how to pray, the intensity for which it was done was probably increased, and I saw the difference. I was like, oh, okay, when you do this, it means it can produce this. When you do this, there's a likelihood that this is what will happen. So you get to sort of like pay attention to certain happenings, right? You pay attention to certain things that happen. And you just might, if you're very observant, or the Lord opens your eyes to see, you could get to see some of these benefits that I'm telling you. And I'm telling you that prayer has benefits. You know, for many people, they only know prayer to have a benefit of killing maybe a witch or something. That's when they only like no prayer. But there are different types and kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of supplication, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of faith. Right? So there are different kinds of prayer. There's the prevailing type of prayer. And they all have different mechanisms to how they actually act. If you use the prayer of faith in times where you're supposed to be prevailing, it's not going to work, because in prevailing, you don't use the prayer of faith. Now, if you also try to use the prayer of consecration, Lord, if it be thy will, let it be, in times where you're supposed to be actually praying the prayer of faith, like in the name of Jesus, I declare this thing done, it also does not work. So I believe that there are techniques, right, to having responses even as we pray. But that's not going to be our emphasis. I just came to tell you here that prayer has some benefits, a lot of benefits. And it was those supernatural benefits that we were looking at, or we are looking at. We currently are on the supernatural effects of prayer on our wisdom. And on our wisdom, we saw how that in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, how that God gave Solomon wisdom. But I didn't tell you how that God gave him wisdom. He gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart. I'm going to explain largeness of heart, you know, maybe this evening or tomorrow. But there was something that Solomon did that was not reading books. You'd expect Solomon to say, you know, Lord, I'm a professor of mathematics. But Solomon's wisdom was not from books. In fact, it was greater than what many books had. Someone who could have 3,000 proverbs, and I believe, and more, 1,005 or 1,000 songs and 500 songs over. That's quite some wisdom. To an extent where every king traveled from wherever they were to hear the words of Solomon. Yes. They traveled far and near just to hear him talk. Bible says he spoke about trees. He spoke about fishes. He spoke about the earth. He spoke about lands. He spoke about everything. But he did not study zoology, botany, animal biology. It means there's an impeccable level of wisdom that God can give. Yes, so in verse 32, he spoke of trees, he spoke of cedar, he spoke of Lebanon, he spoke of the hyssop that springeth out of the wall, he spoke of the beast, he spoke of the fowl, he spoke of creeping things, he spoke of fish, you know, and people came, of all people, to hear the wisdom of Solomon and all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Like, wow, the guy is exceedingly wise. But I came to tell you today that Solomon did not accomplish this wisdom by going to Legon and by going to KNUST or Oxford or Cambridge. It was simple. He prayed for it. Following a sacrifice. I mean, if sacrifice followed, then he prayed for it. I'll show you how that he did. So, it means that if you want your wisdom levels to increase, it's directly related to prayer. Because wisdom in itself is supernatural. Let me tell you something. Even the wisdom that is called witty inventions, God can give it. Yes, he makes us understand that he gives to men witty inventions. Inventions that look like it's not spiritual. He can give that kind of wisdom too. Don't joke with this God. Yes, witty inventions. So, Solomon did not ask, or he did not go to Oxford to acquire this wisdom. I'm talking to you about a supernatural effect when you pray. He gives it to. So, wisdom is actually something that comes when you pray for it. In James 1:5, he says, if any of you lack that is the God of all wisdom, will give to him freely. he'll give to him liberally. It's like he has it so much that he just does his wisdom. Like, do you know what it means to be liberal? It means you give without restraint. He says he'll give to all men liberally, and he will not upbraid it from you. It means he will not withhold it from you. He will not stop you from walking in that wisdom, that he is the God of all wisdom. In fact, the Holy Spirit, as I said, is the spirit of wisdom. Is the spirit of wisdom. You see, we don't build anything just with desires. No. Desires don't take us far. There's a wisdom to it. So it means that he says, if any man lacks it, it means that you can lack it. Anybody can lack it. He says, let him ask. So sometimes you can see that somebody lacks wisdom. Is the person lacks wisdom. He says, don't worry. Don't worry if you lack it. That's not the problem. Don't worry if you lack it. That's not a problem. He says, let him ask of God. The same emphasis, asking it shall be given, seek you will find, knock and it shall be opened. He says, ask. This he speaks of with respect to prayer. That's to make demands. So it means that if you don't pray for wisdom, you are more likely not to receive the wisdom that you need. It's simple. Not the one saying it. James 1:5 is saying it. So you can lack wisdom. It means you get to a crossroad of your life. You lack wisdom. You get to a situation in your life. You lack wisdom. You get to a point in time of your life. You lack wisdom. He says, ask God of this wisdom. And he says, he will not say you are a very stupid fool. No, he doesn't. He gives liberally. He doesn't withhold. Look at another fool. She's asking me for wisdom. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't insult you for asking him for wisdom. He says, I give to all men liberally. So praying and asking for the spirit of wisdom is praying for wisdom. It's praying for that element that makes you wise. It makes you prudent in affairs. You are able to, you know, apply greatly you're able to direct your life. You're able to know what to do. You have a very good sense of judgment. You think wisely. So, Solomon is praying and saying, Lord. Now let me take you back. We saw the answer in 1 Kings 4:29. Let's go to 1 Kings 3:9 to 11. 1 Kings 3:9 to 11. He was asking, Lord, let me tell you a secret. I pray for wisdom every day, if not every day, but many times in a week. In fact, I have a designated time where I pray to ask God for wisdom. I have a designated time. And a designated time. That time, I know that is to ask God for wisdom. Because I don't have it all the time. So, I'm going to learn to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom in the ministry. Wisdom in how to lead the people. Wisdom in how to direct. Wisdom in how to instruct. Because I know it is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:6. If I'm right. The principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And so in all you're getting, make sure you get wisdom. And then he says, get it. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. So look what happens in 1 Kings. Could you hold on with the comments for a few minutes? Let's have the scriptures on. Thank you. So in 1 Kings 3:9-10, look at what Solomon is asking for. He says, after the Lord appeared to him in a vision, actually he had made a very gigantic sacrifice to the Lord. And God was now asking, and he was now replying out. So he's still asking. He says that, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. He says, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the Bible says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. You see that? Because thou hast asked for this thing, and you have not asked for thyself long life, neither have you asked for riches, neither have you asked for thine enemies, but have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, I'll give it to you. Then in 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom. So you see that wisdom is literally what he was asking for. An understanding heart to judge people, to discern between good and bad, to know how to lead the people, to know how to guide the people, to know how to talk to the people, to know how to rule the people, is what is called wisdom. So in 4:29, he says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sun that is on the seashore. What a blessing. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east's country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. And all kings came from the earth, and they marveled at his wisdom. I see you becoming wise. You're becoming wise. You're becoming wise, prudent in matters. It's like when you talk, they'll say, wow, that is wisdom speaking. You're becoming wise. 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 You're becoming wise in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom. 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 It's with wisdom we build a house. It's with wisdom we can fulfill God's plan for our lives. It's with wisdom we can do what God is telling us to do. It's with wisdom. So you are receiving great wisdom. You're going to be prudent in matters. You're going to know how to deal with issues rightly. There's going to be supernatural wisdom made available to you as you pray. As you pray, I told you, the supernatural effect of prayer. So praying for wisdom and giving yourself to prayer has this supernatural effect of making you wise. It makes you have a higher level of wisdom than the wisdom prevailing in your nation. You see, the wisdom of God is actually wiser. I mean, the foolishness of God is actually wiser than the wisdom of men. It means we are not talking about the wisdom of men here. You see, it is the wisdom of the youth to enjoy themselves, drink, sleep, smoke, go for parties. See, that's the wisdom of the world. Oh, how can you be 22 and you are still a virgin? 22 there, you are supposed to do something. You see, that's the wisdom of the world. Oh, you are supposed to chill. As for life, there's just chilling. If you are not chilling, what are you using your life for? Life is short. Wisdom of the world. Then there is the wisdom of God. There is the wisdom of God. There is what God's word says. There is what God wants you to do. There is what God wants you to be involved in. There is the wisdom of God. And that is what you are going to receive from God as you ask Him for it. It's going to be a wisdom from God. There is the wisdom of God. So you are receiving greater levels. You see, today when you talk about things that are eternal, people say, "Master, forget that eternal thing. We are, Charlie, forget." See, that's the wisdom of men. But you're going to be wise and prudent in the things God is wise and prudent at. Yes. Just enjoy yourself. Oh, just enjoy yourself. Oh, just feel free. No. A wisdom that will keep you serving the Lord. A wisdom. You know, one time I was thinking about it. And actually, I laughed at myself. And I was thinking. And I said, it is very difficult to get me to cry. Because it's almost like when a situation arises, I feel like the best thing to do is not to cry. The best thing to do is to find a solution to the situation, to the problem. You see that? So when situations come to me, I almost am searching what does God's word say about the situation, and I just apply it there. You see, I have to look for what God is saying, then I just apply it there. You see, one time Kenneth Hagin shared a story where a woman had lost her husband, right? And the woman had cried so badly. She had cried so badly. In fact, she was becoming mentally unstable. The pain was too much. And so everybody will enter and say, "Oh, poor woman, your husband was a great man of God. Your husband was this. Oh, how we miss him. Please be strong, poor woman." And the woman breaks off almost emotionally again. And she gets back into, you know, being mentally, you know, derailed and mentally drained and all of that. And, you know, people will keep coming in. And he said, these were men of God. And they come in and say, you know, "Oh, poor thing. The children, don't worry, God will take care of them. Poor woman." And, you know, they kept on just bringing her down and bringing her down. She kept on crying and crying and crying. So Kenneth Hagin also entered there just to see her. And he said he never cried with her. He just took the Bible, showed her a couple of scriptures as to how that God sees death. And how that husband is deaf, mentally derailed and mentally troubled and crying. And then started pumping her with faith. You know, telling her that she could be, she was fine and she is fine. And that she was going to do well. And that she was going to live above the situation. And that she was going to do that. And before, in a few minutes, Kenneth Hagin says, the woman had just brightened up. And was looking all blossoming. Now, he says, He was around for a couple of days. The woman was fine, bubbling, getting over. Then another set of other men of God came again. And then they came to tell her, oh, poor thing, we really, the world is so harsh, so cruel, but we trust that God is gonna. And then the woman tips off right into her emotion again. And she starts to cry. And she starts to wonder. And she starts to cry. So Kenneth Hagin says, he goes back there again, a few days later, goes back there again, goes to sit the woman down, takes her to the word of God. There's a glow again. She's active. She's fine. She feels like, oh, her husband, this. Then he leaves again. Then another set of people come in again, and then they start to tell her things. They start to tell her things, and she's down again. So at that time, Kenneth had trouble. Papa Kenneth Hagin had trouble. And so she picked the phone and she called Papa Kenneth Hagin, and she said, please, can you tell me those words you tell me? Because it seems like the people are not helping. In her words, she says, can you tell me the words you tell me? Because it seems like the people are not helping. The people are not helping. Because they come in and I'm mentally drained, almost going mad. Because my husband, and you are the one that talks to me, and you don't even join me to cry. You are very stiff in your face, and you look at me, and you show me God's word, and you tell me, but that seems to help me. And I was like, wow, that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God teaches you to believe God's word, and that is what will help you. But you see, when people come, they like to be very, you know, something is worrying somebody, and you tell the person that God wants you to do it like this, God wants you to do it like this, God wants you, and they say, no you don't understand. So the wisdom of God always teaches you to respond to things rightly. What does your pastor say to you when things are not going on well? Tells you everything is fine. You say, yes, pastor, I believe God. I believe God, everything is fine. Not that we tell you that everything is fine. Then you tip off into worrying, tip off into saying, oh, pastor, please, what? You are not helping the situation. Let's have it done God's wisdom way. Are you listening? Every single time, look out for God and what he wants to do in the situation. Not that you try to find out ways. So the woman definitely knew that, okay, no, these were not helping me. Let me better find what is true and what is the truth and stay on it. Right? So God is granting you wisdom. 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 As you pray, as you ask, there's going to be tremendous levels of wisdom. You will even be shocked. You'll be saying, hey, where did this thing come from? But the Lord is doing this for you because you asked of him. Just like Solomon asked him, you're also going to ask, Lord, wisdom in my affairs, wisdom in my duties, wisdom in my academics, wisdom in the things that I have to do. Wisdom. Lord, how do I? Lord, wisdom. Lord, I ask. I receive wisdom. It says, if anybody lacks it, means that you can lack it. I can lack it. Anybody can lack it at a point in time. But the difference between you lacking it and you receiving is just you asking or you affirming that his wisdom is made available to you in Christ Jesus. So from today, begin to ask. Ask in prayer. Lord, wisdom. When you get to a crossroad, Lord, what do I do? Lord, help me. Grant unto me the spirit of wisdom. And after you ask for it, affirm that you have it. After you ask for it, affirm that you have it. I'm wise in all situations. I know what to do. I'm not confused. Listen to me. If they put 5 men in front of you, you'll be able to make the right choice. You know why? You will ask God for wisdom. You ask God for wisdom. And He will grant you wisdom. In your academics, there's going to be a flow of wisdom. Your daily decisions, there's going to be wisdom. You talk to people wisely. It's not like you just open your mouth and then all that comes out of your mouth is like trash. No, a believer is not like that. He's an embodiment of God. And so he's full of wisdom. And so are you full of wisdom. In the name of Jesus. You receive wisdom to serve the Lord and to know that serving the Lord is the most important aspect and thing of your life. Yes. You see, when this corona happened, I learned some wisdom. If there was one thing I saw in that, is that man was just a helpless. He was just a helpless being. That's all man is. Man was helpless. Without God, man was useless. How? Look how one virus shut down many countries, put people in fear. People were standing on buildings, jumping down, committing suicide. Oh, man is helpless. So I don't know why I should be trying to please the same man who is very helpless. See, I that's the wisdom. Me, I saw the wisdom. That man, he is helpless without God. Your mother and your father, they are helpless without God. Don't think that they have connections. They are very helpless. Yes, without God. I'm not saying with God. Without God, they are help. They can't do anything. You are very helpless without God. Me, I'm very helpless without God. Yes. So that's the wisdom. I said a man is helpless without God. You'll be shocked. Place in turmoil. All airports are shut. You can't even fly to your own country. You can't move from one place to the other. You see, that's when you see how helpless. All your shops are closed down. All the things you are saying, you have companies, they are all shut down. Rice companies everywhere shut down. Man is helpless without God. So don't see God like you are doing God a favor to help him. You must see it as a privilege. I'm telling you, it's a privilege. It's to serve God and to be put somewhere, to do something, to be a disciple, to do this, to do that. So we are bringing people for Zelo. Bringing people for Zelo. Why are they trying to help? Why are they trying to force us? Hey, it's a privilege. Would you even get for God to say that he wants to use you? Nobody will get. So when we get it like that, it's a great privilege. So you are helpless before God. I'm telling you. None of you are falling sick in Jesus' name. But when you go to the hospitals, we don't like the fact that they are there. But it's a good thing to see that we are helpless without God. You see people, they are helpless. Helpless. Without God. If God doesn't step in, they are helpless. I remember a story, you know, a man of God, a man, he was the only surviving person in the earthquake for 3 days. He was stuck there and they had to use all these bulldozers to remove him and pull him out from there. And he came out, put him up on oxygen, he was fine, doing well. So the interviewers came to him and then they asked him, they said that, how is it that you were able to survive this earthquake? And you know what he said? He said that, I'm a very strong-willed person. Yes, whatever I decide to do, I do it. And whatever I decide to get, I get it. That was why I was able to come out of the earthquake. And then they went to ask his wife, how do you think that your husband was able to come out of the earthquake? And she said, oh, my husband, he is very strong-willed. anything that he decides to do, he's able to do. If he says he will do this today, he will do it today. If he says he will do this tomorrow, he'll do this tomorrow. And then they went to interview the doctor who was there. How was he able to say, oh, my patient, from the time I knew him, 7 days, for all the time he's been here, he's a very strong willed person. He's always been saying that he's not going to die and he's going to live and nothing else is going to happen. So I think that the reason why he was able to, survive the earthquake is because he was very strong willed and he seems very determined. Yes. All of them said that he was very determined and he was very this. Now, 8 days later, exactly 8 days later, 8 days later, he had a heart attack and died. You see, where was his strong will? So man is without God. I'm telling you, you can't do anything. So there is even a wisdom that tells you that this is your feeble life. Don't live it without God. Yeah, there's a wisdom. The fool does not have it. The fool feels everything is very superficial and very, you know, just on the natural. That's the fool. No God per se, but there is God, but we don't believe in all of that, the things that he's saying. We don't ministry and those things. Let's not force ourselves. Let's just. Yeah. But man is useless without God. Yeah. If I'm not serving God, because of the kind of wisdom I have, I don't think I should live. Yes, it's a very high level of wisdom. Because you see the earth and you view it with a lens of emptiness and futility. Yes, that's how I think. I honestly think that. I'm not lying to you. If I'm not serving the Lord, I should just die and go. There's no need. It's like you are chasing after something that does not exist. It doesn't exist. In a long race where you don't get anything. Yeah. It's the wisdom that teaches you to think that way. To say that God is everything on the earth. And serving God with your life and having something to do with a higher being that created you. And Jesus that came to die for you. That's the most important thing. It's not in things. So, do you like this wisdom? Or this one, you don't like it at all? The one I'm telling you at the latter, you don't like it. That God should give you this wisdom to be able to see it like that. You don't like it. You love it. Okay, you love it. So, God should give you this wisdom. Yes. And you'll be more interested in God, His service, supernatural things. Yes, it's a wisdom. It's a wisdom. The wisdom that God gives. And He's given it to you in Jesus' name. You'll even be shocked that all of these things later will just be following after you. That's the funny thing. Yes. So God is granting you wisdom. You see that life is not all about marriage. What I'm telling you is high level wisdom. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not all about that. Yeah, it's not all about that. It's not all about something. It's not all about getting a car. It's not all about that. Some people, they see that life is all about that. It's like, it's all. Or if we don't do this, it's all about that. It's not all about that. It's not all about that. You see, and Solomon asked for wisdom and he didn't keep asking. I want to tell you, when you ask for it once, keep asking again and again, because Solomon died a fool. Sorry to say. His heart was turned against God. 300 concubines. His heart was turned. So keep asking and don't stop asking. I ask for it every day. Yeah. So don't stop asking. And Solomon had everything. You don't even have it. People from all over the world came to listen to him. They brought him wonderful gifts. And he died saying that vanity, futility, and emptiness were what was in all of these things. So you're going to know God first, and then you're going to have all the things that you know that you should have. But I want to tell you something. Keep premium on what matters. Keep premium on what matters. Yes, keep premium. Let your heart be set on what actually matters. God is granting you wisdom. He's granting you wisdom. He's granting you wisdom. He's giving you a lot of wisdom. Supernatural wisdom. Wisdom in witty inventions. Wisdom amongst your peers. Wisdom in your academics. Wisdom in your business. Wisdom in the things that you should handle. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.